It's good to be with everyone here this morning. When I picked up this subject matter, it's something that I know that I've heard some people talk about, and maybe you have too. And it's going to be dealing with Mark 16:16, the views that people in this world have regarding Mark 16:16 and the subject of baptism. You know, Jesus, he just had one meaning in mind when he spoke in Mark 16:16. Turn with me to Mark 16:16 and we'll see what he says here. It reads that he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. You know, men of the world, since Jesus' time, are not to put their own spin on Jesus' word, although that hasn't stopped them in the past and the present day. They still try to put their spin on Jesus' word. Let's go to 2 Peter and chapter 1. And see what it says about that. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse number 20. It reads in verse 20 that, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." You know, God, he's not an author of confusion. It's simple. It's right here. It's in black and white, as they say. He doesn't author confusion. But men of this world, and since Jesus' time, they create confusion. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse number 33, it says right here that "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And that takes me into the title of today's lesson. And that's views of Mark 16:16. We're going to talk about different people in this world today that have different views on the subject of baptism. Necessity, do we really need it? Things like that. First group that we're going to talk about this morning are the atheists. Now there's atheists, they hold the view that there is no God, and thus nothing to be saved from. Because in their view, it doesn't matter if you believe or are baptized, because they don't think it'll make any difference. But also, all non-Christian religions who don't accept Jesus' quality of divineness, also, they hold that view. And we're going to read from John 3:16. Very familiar passage for everybody. But John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And like I said, the atheists hold a view that there is no God and nothing to be saved from. They hold beliefs of salvation by some other means. And for the life of me, I have no idea what that is. Because there is no other way, folks. John 14 and verse number 6. John 14:6 says that Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying is that the atheists, they hold beliefs of salvation by some other means, but I have absolutely no idea what that is. You know, our God, he desires everyone to be saved. But it is based on belief in his existence. You have to believe that he exists in order to be saved. And he's given us plenty of evidence on that. Let's turn to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 20. I get there. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Plenty of evidence given throughout the ages. Because it is foolish to say there is no God. Psalms 14, verse number 1. It says right there, the fool has said to his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. It is foolish to say there is no God. Another view that people of this world have is the fact that he who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved. He who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved. This is the belief of the universalist. They believe that God saves everyone. And the reason that they're using that is because he is a loving God. And if we have a loving God, who would condemn anyone to hell? That's what they believe. Jesus died for all. So that's another claim that they use, that everyone will be saved. But we know different. Jesus warned that few would be saved. Matthew 7. Turn with me there. And we'll see what it says. This is Matthew 7, beginning at verse number 13. And it reads right there that, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Jesus warned that few would be saved. And a newsflash, sin will keep you out of heaven. We all know that. But this group of people believe in God saves everyone because he's a loving God. And he died for all, so they claim that all are saved. But sin will keep you out of heaven. You know, Jesus will punish both those who do not know God and those who do not obey. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 8. It reads there that dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Jesus will punish those that do not know God and those who do not obey. Another view that some people have in this world today is that he who does not believe and is baptized will be saved. The people that practice infant baptism advocate this. After all, we all know an infant cannot believe. Yet the claim is that a baptism for an infant, actually, I'm going to term it a sprinkling of water, will make them saved without belief. Because what they're claiming that they are being saved from is the inherited sin of Adam. However, beyond belief, there are prerequisites to baptism that infants can't meet. For example, they talk about repentance. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 and 38. Because it says right there that Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Infant cannot do that. They don't realize that. Another thing an infant can't do is confession. What happens in Romans chapter 10? It talks about this. Romans 10, and I'm going to be beginning at verse number 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How can an infant do that? And the word baptism itself does not mean sprinkling of the water on the forehead. It means full immersion. And what that means, it requires much water. Not just a little cup, a little dish of water. It requires much water. Because when I think of baptism, the first story that comes to my mind, and I believe it's in, you have to check me on this, I believe it's Acts, the 8th chapter, talks about Philip and the eunuch. You know, what hinders me from being baptized? He saw the water, the big supply of water. So he went down and was baptized. But it's more than just a sprinkling on the forehead. Because earlier I talked about they feel that the infant is inheriting the sins of Adam. When they're baptized, that washes away. But even more fundamentally, no one inherits sin. No one inherits sin. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. It reads here, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon themselves." No one inherits sin. Infants, being really small when they're usually baptized, They have no knowledge of good or evil. They're too small. They're too little. What's it say in Deuteronomy? Chapter 1. Verse 39. It reads, "Moreover, your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your sons, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it." No knowledge of the good and evil. Other people in this world today that have views, he who believes and is not baptized will be saved. The people that believe that, they insist that salvation will come at the point of faith alone. But in James 2, verse number 24, it says differently. James 2, verse 24, it says, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." I didn't make that up. That's what it says right here. It's in black and white. Because the people that believe this, he who believes and is not baptized will be saved. But if one is baptized, it is seen as an optional step, perhaps required to join a denomination, but certainly not to be saved from sin. We know that obedience is required for salvation. Hebrews 5. In verse 9. Hebrews 5, verse 9, it reads, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obeyed him the source of eternal salvation." Obedience is required for salvation. So a question that a lot of people ask, so do we acknowledge that baptism is commanded or not? Do we acknowledge that? Let's see what it says in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, I'm starting at verse number 47. It says, "Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did can." "And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days." So do we acknowledge that baptism is commanded or not? You know, this that I just got through reading, that was in obedience to Jesus' command. Not man. It was Jesus' command. But then I've had people ask, and maybe you have too, what does baptism do? What does baptism do? I'm going to give a few points here. Well, first of all, it saves. It puts a person into the kingdom. Let's go to John 3. John 3, beginning at verse number 3, about putting that person in the kingdom. It says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's the thing that baptism does. Baptism also gives forgiveness of sins. It brings the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, beginning at verse number 3. It says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. What's baptism do? It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It crucifies our old self. It removes sin. It frees us from sin so we can walk in a new life. But I've had some people say to me, does a person have faith if they do not obey all of Jesus' commandments? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, beginning at verse number 19. It reads, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Those are some different views the people of this world yet today have about baptism. He who does not believe and is not baptized will be saved. He who does not believe and is baptized will be saved. He who believes and is not baptized will be saved. But the one that most of us here today are familiar with, and we should be familiar with, is the last one that we talk about. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Because this view, folks, this view alone takes Jesus' word for face value. We're not trying to twist the words around, add a word, take out a word. It's taken at his face value. Because let's go to John 12. And see what it says there. John 12, beginning at verse number 48. It reads, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is that will judge him on the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative. But the Father himself, who sent me, has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Question is, what view do you believe? Which view will you practice? Folks, God's kingdom, the kingdom that he's promised to us, is way, way too valuable to give up. That's my lesson for today. You know, the close of every service that we have here, we talk about the Christian way of life, how to become a Christian. And we've read a little bit about that today, in today's sermon. We need to hear Jesus. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We need to repent of our sins, confess Jesus with the mouth, confession is made into salvation, be baptized. We read that two or three times in the sermon this morning. Be baptized, and last but certainly not least, to be faithful always. You know, if there are those that are present today that are not a Christian and would like to become one, everything is ready for you. Or if there are those that are in the audience this morning that are in need of our prayers or to make themselves right with God, we ask that we please come forward as we sing the song of the invitation that Doug has selected.